Well, David, thank you very much indeed for inviting me. It's good to be back. I hope that it won't be long before we can get back together and enjoy each other's convivial company in person. And it's always one of the big assets of the foundation that we can meet and chat in the way that we normally do. But on this subject, as you say, David, the committee which I chair, the Science and Technology Committee, has been conducting an inquiry. In fact, we've just finished taking evidence and we are weighing up our conclusions. You may indulge me by allowing me to take some of the conclusions of the discussions that you reach to inform my members' consideration of the evidence that we've held. It may be that we've got some members of my committee on the call and they may want to speak later. But I will speak in a personal capacity and don't want to preempt what our conclusions might be. During our inquiry, we've taken evidence from a fascinating array of people, including past and present senior executives at DARPA in the US, academics in the US and the UK and European countries, both the current and the former chief executives of UKRI, and the science minister. And so I think there are a few things that I would say from that consideration. And one of the things we've been thinking about is the case for a UK ARPA. And the first thing to say is that the context is very important, because the most important part of the context, it seems to me, is this: that the science and research budget is set to increase from £12 billion a year to £22 billion a year by 2024-25, an extraordinary advance. David, during your time as science minister, during the coalition, you did a heroic job in protecting the science budget in cash terms. When cuts were being made across government departments, you got flat cash for science. When I was science minister, managed to get flat real funding from the Treasury. And when I was business secretary, we managed to increase the funding from £9 billion a year to £12 billion a year. But all of that, I think, fades by comparison with the intention to nearly double the science budget. And the relevance of that is that I think this new agency, were it to be competing with for existing resources, were it destined to cannibalize program budgets and budgets that are already there, I think might be viewed in a different way. But £800 million, very significant sum of money, but in the context of an increase of £10 billion a year in the science budget by the end of the parliament, I think does give possibilities for doing things that wouldn't be possible in a world in which the budget were not increasing. The second piece of context that I think is important, and so far is unknown, is the future of industrial strategy in terms of the government's purview. When we established the industrial strategy in 2017, we established an industrial strategy challenge fund that in many ways had some characteristics of what is being proposed for ARPA, which is to say that it had in mind multidisciplinary strategic projects with an eye to developing capability to meet future needs. And to give just a few examples of that, perhaps a topical one, the VMIC, the Vaccines Manufacturing Innovation Centre, back in 2018, we thought that it was desirable and perhaps prudent to deliberately develop vaccine manufacturing capability that we could use to respond at pace to then unknown future needs such as pandemics, and to have a scale that we could vaccinate the whole country. Now that, I think most people would agree, was is something that is being proved to be a wise course and a wise use of research money. Similarly, the Faraday Challenge was through the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, was there to develop UK battery manufacturing capability on the basis that we would need this if we were to prosper in future in automotive. And the Faraday Institution and the National Battery Manufacturing Centre, Coventry, were set up to pursue this. And again, what we're seeing now is that the phasing out of cars with internal combustion engines and the move to net zero is making that appropriate. So one question that I think will determine both whether we need an ARPA and its remit is whether there will be a continuation of this new and, I would say, important departure. One of the things that the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund has done is to deploy, for relatively long-term commitments, public funds, but also, as a condition, leveraged in funds from the private sector. And of the £5.6 billion that has been invested in these challenges, £2.6 has been public money from the science budget and £3 billion from private sources. So I think some clarity on that will be necessary. I hope that it will continue, and that may mean that ARPA can have a narrower focus if it were to continue. But if the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund were not to continue, then I think there is it would be desirable for this new institution to take up some of the strain there. Finally, in terms of what I think were we to have a UK ARPA, what it might look like. Well, I think, and Sir Geoffrey Owen has written and talked about this, I think there is an important space for an institution that can look to invest and develop capability in, rather than incremental improvements in technologies, significant leaps, one might say, through sustained funding, and especially where those developments are unlikely to be produced by either industry or academia alone. And so a focus on technological transformation seems to be something that would be desirable. The evidence we've taken clearly establishes that it needs to have a clear mission, that it should be able to take more risks than perhaps UKRI is, whether culturally or in terms of its statute and the responsibility it has through the accounting officer to the Treasury and government, to be able to take on. There should be a greater ability to take on more risky projects. The translational potential is something that should be a criteria that may be used for this. One of the things that, in evidence to the committee, Baroness Brown of Cambridge, Julia King, said that, she captures it quite well. The gap I see in our research and innovation landscape is science push, helping great scientific ideas escape from the laboratory into applications which enable a step change in the way current technologies or processes work, or into applications that no one has yet thought of. That seems to be a good broad remit that then needs to be translated into particular challenges. The risk of failure, I think, needs to be accommodated clearly and explicitly from the beginning. And perhaps part and parcel of that should be a commitment to long-term funding, so that there is confidence that perhaps initial setbacks don't prove fatal to the ambition that's set up. So that is perhaps a personal take on some of the evidence that we've taken. My committee will be drawing that together and making our conclusions during the next few weeks, so that the government can then reflect on what we advise before it makes its own mind up as to what might be the form and indeed the function of this proposed organisation.